Welcome back, TAC listeners, to this week's episode of The Artful Chiropractor. My name is Ray Daniels, and I am joined here tonight with the one and only Dr. Lance Von Stade. What's going on, man?
What's up? I'm cruising around with this Santa hat on, wishing that everyone out there could share in my festivities. I just adjusted everybody with my hat on today, and I had a bunch of new people walking in the door and had some self-questioning of whether or not to wear a Santa hat for, you know, an acute new person walking in off the street, first impression of a chiropractor. And part of me was like, man, I want to kind of have like a meet them where they're at moment. Mm-hmm. And also I'm wanting them to meet me for who I am. And I think wearing a Santa hat does a pretty good job of communicating a little bit more about who I am.
What allowed you to kind of say yes to the Santa hat?
Authenticity has been big for me lately. I think it's a whole nother piece, like we were talking about in the pre-chat, like the Facebook Live stuff. It's just, how can I start to be my authentic self in more situations? And I'm finding that there's a discomfort in some situations where I hesitate to want to be my authentic self, because sometimes I want to build connection first and then reveal myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to have the conversation more often in my head. I have conversations in my head about,
I think we all do,
the fact that I might be wasting time by not expressing my authentic self up front. And although my authentic self might not connect with some people, those may not be the people that I'm wanting to connect with in general. So there's a balance, obviously, because there's some people that may have a first glance of me and then not give me the chance. And if I had a more neutral first impression, then we could have gotten along later. But we've talked about 80-20 ad nauseum in this podcast. And I think that from an 80-20 perspective, of those that would judge me initially and afterward, based on that original judgment, I wouldn't connect with them. I imagine that 80% of that crew, I probably wouldn't have a deep connection with long term, compared to those that I wear a Santa hat, they can dig it, or at least they give me the benefit of the doubt and they're able to hold their judgment just for a moment, then I can fill my practice with those people and still serve those that I may not have been able to connect with as immediately. Mm-hmm. Had I not worn the Santa hat. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And it seems that if you're authentic up front, it builds a very quick connection, I think. And that's what I'm drawn to when people are authentic from the very beginning. I'm immediately drawn to them. Whereas, like you said, if you're more neutral and you're trying to meet people where they're at, it could just take longer and it might be more exhausting for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the big piece, man. We've talked about that on this podcast a lot. That the size of that gap being equivalent to the size of the stress that I'm holding in myself and constantly trying to relinquish that. Mm-hmm. and still negotiating with strategies that have been successful for me in the past, kind of coming in with a blank slate and matching them and mirroring and working with them, trying to negotiate. But at the same time, realizing that I have limited resources and wanting to be as efficient as possible. So in reality, end game is so I can be more present with my son. If I get to the end of my days and I'm so freaking exhausted of meeting people where they're at because I'm not authentically me, but I'm trying to authentically be who I think they want me to be,
right?
I leave it on the field and I got nothing left at home. And so now I'm realizing that the sooner I start practicing being my authentic self and dealing with the situations that are presented by me doing that, mm-hmm, I am now training how to deal with situations as my authentic self.
I like that, because if you're spending a large amount of your day not being your authentic self to meet people where they're at, and then the last half of your day you're going back to your authentic self, it just seems like you're training a lot of inauthenticity in a way.
Yeah.
Where it's, that could be tough bouncing back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's training connection. I think there's a skill set in being able to meet people where they are. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, how to do that without losing that presence and that authenticity, you know? So it's similar. It's similar. It's kind of like the someone tells a racist joke. You know, you don't laugh at the racist joke just to build connection with somebody. Mm. You know what I mean?
That's a good example.
That to me is it's the most common thing that I've heard as an example in where integrity comes into question, where you're just hanging out with somebody, it's no big deal. They tell this joke. I mean, you know, if I was to call that person out, then I might look like an asshole and they might not be my friend anymore. It's like, yes, play that logic back in slow motion and realize how that is a huge opportunity. Being someone that person probably does like and trust, they say that joke. You could be the person who actually sways them, as opposed to, oh, I don't want to sacrifice my acceptance in this situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that those are the situations that where we're tested. Those are the situations where we have to step up. And the more often we do, the more comfortable we become doing so.
Right. I like how our conversations are starting off not how we had planned in these last couple episodes.
The Santa hat, man.
The Santa hat.
Brings out our authenticity.
I saw your video with Dr. Adrian Villalba. And with the Santa hat, I'm like, he better have that Santa hat on tonight when I interview with him.
Yeah.
I was going to call you out if you didn't.
Yeah.
But by the way, I want to give you a shout out for all the work that you're doing at Golden Gate, bringing, you know, outside healthcare practitioners, I guess you could say, or just, you know, really getting your community involved with Golden Gate. I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be huge for San Francisco and just the business and kind of collaborating. It's pretty cool to see. And I know we've talked about not very many businesses or people are doing that. So it's cool to see you really being on the forefront of it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's been fun, man. I mean, we're in such a unique place in the entire world, being not just in California, not just in San Francisco, not just in the marina, but the corner of the streets that we live on, Union and Webster here, is like the epicenter of so much energy and attention and focus and expertise in health and healing. We have, I think, 25 chiropractors in our neighborhood. We have, I mean, I probably walked past 6 yoga studios, Pilates studios. We have naturopaths and nutritionists and psychologists and everyone you can think of in the spectrum of health and healing. And we also have this amazing space that would be very disappointing to not maximize. And the fact that because through Adjusting Ninjas, I've done so much of the video editing and through the podcasting now with you, having had conversations real time and being able to, I think, pull messages out of people, we have some amazing people that I'm really hoping to give a platform for them to continue to share their messages, whether it's authors or speakers or world-renowned people. As you know, we've talked about some of the people we have in this community. It's, man, if we can just get their words to more people, I think that's the exponent that can be added to the connection. That's, mm-hmm. I think, the entire purpose of these platforms is to build more connection. And I think too often it's a one-way street. You know, people are just being sucked into them. And so for me, I'm realizing that if I'm going to be participating at all, I have to participate full out. And again, like we talked about, I got to be my authentic self sharing these messages. And I know there's others that are better at it than I am. So these platforms, these lives that we're doing, they're already paying off. We've been hit up by a couple of people locally who now want to be interviewed, which is kind of cool. Mm. So I have no idea where it's going to go, but it feels good. It feels, like I'm growing quickly, making a lot of mistakes, obviously just adding a couple of new layers and audio and visual. And but working with Adrian today was cool, and we're going to be doing a lot more of it. So thanks for the feedback, man.
Yeah,
you're fueling
sure.
the fire.
Yeah, it was cool. I was listening to it on my way home today, and I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome, man. Just hearing Adrian, you know, talk about prenatal chiropractic. I'm like, uh-huh. I'm a prenatal chiropractor, Dr. Adrian Villalba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool, yeah, cool. And I think that's, even that now, getting to highlight Adrian, who's working with perinatal women and families and children who are new to the world or pediatrics coming up, you know, people out in my community. I'm doing a Facebook Live right now, just kind of showing the back end of it. And a lot of people from my community have no idea that chiropractors can work with families and women. And my wife is, I quote her all the time saying, I'm not allowed to meet a pregnant woman and not tell her that chiropractic can help her. And so that type of message, I think needs to get out more often, because we can help so many people that just don't realize it. And so now just putting a mic on as many people as possible, and I get to share my message alongside their message, and we get to collaborate and learn from each other. And it's just, Francisco Varela was a neurobiologist who passed away a couple of decades ago. And he said that when a living system is in ill health, the cure is more connection to itself. And to me, these podcasts, these videos, these streams, I mean, we have even two platforms going right now that it's more connection. It's your community matching mine, matching whoever out here shares videos. And because of the increased connection between communities, there's increased communication, there's increased empathy, there's increased understanding, there's diversity. And all of those things, I think, are what it leads to thriving.
And something that you guys talked about too with your guys' chat was, you know, Adrian mentioned, like, if I'm not a good fit or if we're not a good fit, we'll be able to connect you with so many people. And like you already said, you have such amazing connections within your street.
You know,
it's just like, it's really about building the community up, you know?
Yeah. Cool. That was cool to hear. I mean, he's made so many connections. He's unreal. He's a valuable resource to anybody. Yeah. Just even the fact that he can name drop like that five or six different professionals within the health healing for the perinatal situation. That's boom. He's the guy. Go to him. And if he can't help you, he knows the next person. Yeah.
Right. I love that. All right. 10 minutes in. Let's chat quickly about the Sustainable Movement module. We haven't got to talk about it. It's been released now for a few weeks, I believe. And I would just like to hear your feedback on it and maybe the feedback that you've been getting from docs and students and how it's different from the resources that we already have a lot of access to with the previous modules.
Yeah. So previous modules from the ANTC, it is a lot of the things that are from that and programs that are specifically dialed for those that need movement fixes. And so the ANTC movement is a lot of strength training, it's interval work, and et cetera. And now, and those who have it know what I'm talking about, so I don't need to go into too many details about it. For the Sustainable Movement module, it's flows. So you get to see Ray's pretty face. And Dr. Jordan, and you have two 10-minute flows and two basically 20-minute flows that are focused on either the hip hinge and founder, or you have something that works onto the ground and gets a little more upper body and anchoring involved. And the assessment of the self, I think, is a little more broken down in this module. The three ways that people get injured, the three ways that chiropractors are getting injured, is addressed and then broken out individually. We talk about the inherent issues. A lot of the things that didn't go into the 6-month module made it into here. The things that are kind of between the cracks. We basically put out the 6-month module and then fielded a bunch of questions from the movement side. And those questions get answered in this module. That's the basic of it. From the feedback we've gotten from people who are taking it so far, they like it. That's the basic of it. There haven't been a lot of questions. I think the content is pretty clear. One of the questions we get is simply from those who have yet to purchase it, and it's their foundation training certified, and they say, what extra benefit do I get from this module if I already have access to the core essentials from foundation training?
Oh, I see.
And I think that if you're already foundation training certified, then you could probably figure out how to apply the principles to chiropractic and save yourself. But if you've tried that and it hasn't worked, then I think this module will answer a lot of the questions that you may not have realized. Because I've applied not just foundation training, but my entire career as a sports medicine and sports performance professional, where I've assessed the biomechanics of athletes and then addressed those specific issues in this module. And simultaneously, those that apply the foundation training principles to the art of chiropractic may not realize that the adjustment itself or the maneuvering of a person around the table requires the same principles. And so putting it out as specific moments where this is the most vulnerable moment of the chiropractor's positioning here in side posture, in the pedia thoracics, in the supine cervicals, And then also wrist joints don't get addressed in foundation training. So we talk about wrist, and there's the mobility and a couple specific drills there. Shoulder, it's, we talk about it in foundation training from a chain perspective, mm-hmm. but we don't dial it all the way in. And you've seen it and you've trained it. Foundation training is an amazing foundation. Right. And we take that foundation and we build something specific to chiropractors on top of it. So someone put it pretty well inside the, I think it was, maybe they just shared the video of the online modules, and they said that if you know a chiropractor that's injured, send them to these guys. And that was me and Eric for the sustainable movement module. And if you know someone who's injured other than a chiropractor, then send them to me. He was a foundation training instructor. So
I love it. That's cool.
To me, it's if someone's a chiropractor and foundation training certified, they have a great start to help themselves. And if they're struggling, then I think the module can push them over the edge.
And I'm really looking forward to diving into it myself. And like you said, the flows, I think that's something I've been really drawn to recently, is trying to get routines that I can just like go to, like you mentioned in a previous podcast, of like different times frames that you have available, and having flows within those times. And so I'm looking really forward to developing that as well.
Nice. Yeah. For me, having a 5, a 12, a 15, a 20 is solid. I love it.
Yeah.
And this month I'm actually taking on I just signed up yesterday for a 30-day unlimited yoga and Pilates membership at a studio that's like a block away from me. Obviously we're looking forward to making relationships in the area, and it's been a long time since I've done Pilates or yoga regularly. And I'm kind of feeling called to get into my body in that way and do it regularly. And, man, I haven't done Pilates specifically since 2003. I just posted this in the Certified Foundation Training Instructors video. I haven't done Pilates since I learned how to engage my core and hold myself accountable. And my God, it destroyed me, man. And the other piece is like, no one else in the class, I feel like, is actually really fully engaged. And so they're just like, uh-huh, and pump, and pump, and pulse, and pulse. And I'm like, no, no.
They're looking over at you and like, a rookie. Yeah, I remember my first time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You have strong hip flexors. Right?
That's cool, man. But yeah, I mean, going back to, that's what I wanted to ask you was, last week we talked about kind of areas or gaps in training that kind of surfaced for me. And I'm curious to kind of where gaps are showing up for you in practice right now. Mm-hmm. Or do you feel pretty solid with them?
Gaps for me, I have a left shoulder injury that has plagued me for as long as I can remember, since 2009. It comes up. It's unstable. I constantly do my daily mobility and my strength and my hanging and my push-ups and all of that. And it continues to be a little unstable. And so that to me is the gap in my training, is just continuing to get creative with how to deal with it. You know, it's not injured. It doesn't hurt. It's just the thing that I do think about it sometimes while I'm adjusting. Massive people, side posture, specifically when I'm doing a PI on an ilium. That's to me is the biggest gap. So I'm getting creative with that, just doing different mobility and specifically stability training. And it's part of the reason I'm doing the every single day yoga alternating with Pilates for this month, is just to really focus in on my core stability and just build my shoulder from the inside out. So I do... they're doing whatever they're doing in the class, and I'm just sitting there focusing on my abs and my core and breathing my internal abdominal pressure. That's where I'm really focusing in all of those sessions. Mm-hmm. And as long as I can maintain that sensation throughout the entire class, I don't even care what else they're doing in that class, but me just spending an hour focusing on intra-abdominal pressure. And then I also go and I hang every time I park my car. So that's 4 times a week. Go do 5 minutes of hanging on my left and my right arm. And then I do my chiropractic specific warm up before I actually adjust people. And I'm also adding some bands and stuff. So, you know, compensating for it. I don't think it's something that won't get addressed. I just currently it's maybe functioning at 80-85% where it was at 50 at one point. Mm-hmm. And so there's progress, but it's still like the hole that I'm plugging.
It's good for our listeners to hear that. And I just remember last week, I was like, oh yeah, nothing physically came up for me. And I think right after I got done with the call, I was like, oh no, your wrist definitely bothered you, dude. Third day, you know? So things came up and I was thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, that's 3 days of 100 people. And, you know, then I got to rest, you know? So yeah. I'm like, what would have showed up if it was a you know, 400 a week or 300 a week for 6 months?
Yeah.
So it's like, it is a cool and a powerful like way to see where you're at. But I mean, it's just the beginning. If you get to practicing, you want to see 300, 400 people. It's like, that still really shows you where your gaps are.
Yeah.
But I like that, you know, you and even Brett recently, you know, having his, you know, little setback. I haven't really got to see too much what it was about, but you know, even when we do train as much as we can and, you know, put a lot of time and effort into it, it's like things can still happen. Things still show up. It's like we still had a lifetime of previous poor movement patterns.
You know? They like, will show up.
And
for
it's
sure.
Good for us to not have that like shame, especially like you mentioned on the podcast that you just did with Jim Chester.
Mm-hmm.
Just like not having voicing it and being able to talk about it. And I think it's important for even in our own community, you know, there could be like that little shame of like, oh man, I've been training this and I don't want to talk about it because I'm a chiropractor and hurting myself. So
yeah. And I think that that's another piece for me with the sustainable movement module. I think rather than me trying to teach the right way because I've lived it my whole life and never made a mistake, I need this. The whole reason that that module exists is because my body was breaking down and I am in the reparation phase. You know, my L5, it doesn't just go away. I have to continually maintain it every single day. And if I don't, then I live with this distraction, this interference to my life's process. And similarly, my shoulder never hurts. And if I wait for it to hurt, then I'll be in a whole different category. It's more important now that I recognize that when I'm adjusting some people in side posture with my left arm, sometimes I think about my left shoulder. And the fact that I have to think about my left shoulder means there's something going on in there that I have to address. Similarly, I don't look outside and think about my eyeball. You know, if I do, it means there's something going on in my eyeball. I should probably take care of that. So that to me is, I'm so stoked to have worked on sustainable movement for chiropractic because it's the thing that I know I need the most. And if I can bring some other people along and save them any of the issues that may come along in the long term, I'm stoked to spend my life like that. It's great.
I agree. And even for people who maybe haven't had like these injuries and getting them to understand how important it is for that proactive and preventative type of care for yourself, because I guess you don't always know when that brink is, like that injury that you had no symptoms yet and it's been like on the brink, you know.
I think it's so easy, and I see it commonly with chiropractors who they dish out the advice but they don't take it for themselves, you know. And I think we all deal with it. I don't think there's anybody here that's 100% always on point with every word they say, matching every action they make. And I think that the goal is to close that gap as much as possible. And you, everyone knows that it's also correlated to success in practice. When you are living congruent and sharing the message, like you're saying, when people meet you and they know you're authentic, it's a no-brainer. The trust is there. And as soon as the trust is there, the healing can begin.
And it's such a weird feeling too. It's like you may not even had to talk to him for very long, but it's this feeling you get.
Yeah.
But all right, man, I want to jump into my last question, I've been looking forward to asking you. What have you gotten better at saying no to?
I've gotten better at saying no to things that pull me away from my son. And there has been a compensation for that. the schedule we have right now is my son goes to grandma's house in the beginning of the week and then comes back mid to end of week. And so when he's with me, I've gotten really good at saying no to meetings, phone calls, scheduling any Facebook stuff, answering emails, doing paperwork, any of that. Mm-hmm. And therefore I do podcasts at 7 o'clock on Monday evening. And after this, I'm going to be setting up the stage for tomorrow night's event, and I'll probably be up doing paperwork until whenever. So there is, it's not that I've said no to those things. I've said, no, not now. Mm-hmm. And I've created other space in my life to where I dictate when those things happen rather than they come up and I say yes right away. So I'm saying no, not yet more often.
I imagine though, as you continue to progress throughout your career, you're going to have to say no a lot more than,
yeah.
And I imagine you already are saying no quite a bit. So I guess, what is your current strategy or thought process around making a decision? I mean, mm-hmm. besides whether or not you're with Levi.
Yeah. So the hierarchy of needs is the first thing that comes back. And I've kind of talked to that concentric circles diagram, you know, from the inside out. But the things that give the most resource per moment that I spend with it mm-hmm. is kind of how I decide. Because a decision is, it's two. It's an incision between two, the decision. And so how do I choose one or the other? Because there's always an option. For me, it's almost like a split test. I imagine in my mind, okay, if I go this direction, this is the probable outcome. This is the resource that I'll gain from choosing that versus I go this direction. What do I get from it? This one might be more fun. This one might be more rest. This one might be more productivity and outcomes I need. This one might be more time with Levi, which nourishes my soul and I feel most on purpose when I'm with him. That can't happen sustainably without gaining enough outcomes and providing enough value to the world that I can provide for my son. So that relationship back and forth, I think the planning has been the biggest piece for me. Planning in advance, things like I'm going to pay for unlimited yoga and Pilates, because right now my movement, since level 3, my movement game has significantly dropped off. I was training so heavily for training camp level 3 with the spirals and the waves that since then, I have kind of doubled down on to building practice again. We won Best of the Bay. I wanted to rebrand with that. We're throwing these events before the holidays come. We're doing all of our 2018 planning. So because the focus went away from the movement, now I know I need to build my accountability. So I go sign up for a 30-day challenge for myself to do something every single day that I'm in the city. I'm not going to like not go 5 days in Sonoma with my family for Christmas. But the days that I'm here for the next 30, I'll be working with my body and doing my intra-abdominal pressure. And to me, that's the most central concentric ring that promotes the most sustainability of the lifestyle we're trying to create.
So it seems like in that moment, when it comes down to a decision, it's like you have to be present. Because I think, mm-hmm. I guess to provide context for this question is, it seems like it's a principle among high performers that they either say no a lot or they have a strategy around decision making. And just hearing that process right there is like, I'm saying yes to this or I'm saying no to that. Both can be great. It's just like in that moment, identifying with your needs, what you need, and then making a decision from there.
Yeah. And I'll also throw the caveat out that that's when I'm in my ideal self. That's when I'm functioning at my highest level. That is, it's easier to do after periods when I'm rested. You know, I noticed that on days where I've had a full night of sleep, it's easier for me to take a moment when there's a stimulus or a moment or a decision needs to be made that I can actually stop for a moment, think about the decision, and then make it. Versus my typical habit that I've done for years is how I got through grad school and accomplished a lot of different things is just freaking do something. And the thought that it takes, the time it takes to make the decision can just be slowing me down from getting something done. And I've gained a lot of skill sets by just doing something. And if you spin the other edge of that coin, I've wasted a lot of time where had I been able to just take a moment's step back, I could have probably gotten that far with 30 steps, but instead, because I waved all over the place, I took 100 steps to get there. Because I took 100 steps, I probably saw more than most people did as they traveled that same amount of distance. And so I have a lot of other skill sets, but I don't know the long-term effects on my health from that strategy.
Right.
And so I can't tout that as best. I can't tout that as better. I just know that my path has been learning from the experience of having moved in a lot of different directions simultaneously, not as far in any of them as I probably could have had I focused on one. But now the generalist skill set, I think I have a little bit more than the specialist, and now I can apply that perspective to more of a specialist. And so now I'm really starting to focus in on what my specialty is, which I think is the movement aspect of the athlete chiropractor. The body biomechanics of the adjusting chiropractor is something that really does take a lot from many worlds I've lived in and put a shit ton of energy into. And it's something near and dear to my heart. And I think that that matches a lot of different needs together and can be a pretty powerful life for me.
I like that philosophy of the generalist to the specialist. I think there are a lot of people who would, you know, flip that of just like honing in earlier on. But I mean, for me, that's, I resonate with kind of what you just said the most, I think, especially as it relates to like chiropractic and how I want to serve. But
yeah. Well, I think it's the same as, you know, one power empowering the other, having stability of something that can empower mobility elsewhere. And I think there always has to be the integration. You have to go back and forth. You work on your stability so you get more mobility. You work on mobility, and then you have to dial in your stability as you gain more, and back and forth. So I think having a specialty and also honoring generalizations and being aware of how many different things are true. Mm-hmm. And when you understand the principles that tie them all together, you really become a specialist in the principles that tie all these general principles together.
Exactly. That makes me think of a question I had from a student. He was just kind of asking me about my process, and he's been checking out a lot of different techniques within chiropractic, and now he's getting closer to clinic, and he's like, oh, do I need to like specialize in one or get like that solid, more of a solid foundation before I, you know, I can still bring others into it, but maybe take some time to dive deeper into one.
Yeah.
And it was a good question.
Nice.
I think it kind of encapsulates what we're talking about right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've talked about that a long time ago on this podcast, just learning. When you start to learn so many techniques, you start to see the principles that really dial them all together. And obviously there's 33 that dial the chiropractic philosophy in. And then there's also the principles of performance training, the principles of how to help someone connect with themselves. And so you'll see a lot of patterns.
Definitely. All right, brother. I'm going to let you get the Golden Gate Chiropractic Center ready for tomorrow night.
Cool. Thanks, dude.
So yeah, appreciate you, man. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Peace out. Peace.
All right, TAC listeners, if you enjoy this one, head over to iTunes or Stitcher so you can subscribe to the podcast and get an automatic download of our newest episode each and every week. While you're at it, we love a review, a comment, a rating, anything that will allow us to reach more docs and more students and continue to raise the bar in chiropractic performance training. If you haven't yet checked out the artfulchiropractor.com, you can do that for show notes for this episode and previous ones, along with any of the resources that our docs are dropping. And if you haven't yet checked out the Kairos Training Culture Community Facebook page, you have to get there, send a request with a message of who you are and why you want to be a part of the group, because there are so many amazing golden nuggets that are being dropped every single day that are elevating the chiropractic performance game. So with that, I hope you all have an amazing rest of your week as always, and until next time, peace.